listening to California Dreamin' with your hosts Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
And good morning.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Good, good. I had a good sleep last night, thanks to the sleeping pills.
You did, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get much sleep at all, and I'm extremely tired, as always, as has been in the past couple weeks.
Well, thank God it's Friday, right?
Yes.
Happy
yes.
Friday.
Thank you. Although I don't know how much more I'm going to sleep, but I hope so. I hope to get some sleep.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm leaving here, going to another job, and then I'll be working the entire weekend. And then I'll be back here on Monday, and then going back to the job again.
I see.
So I'm not going to have no rest
while. Well, you've had enough rest for now. It's time to work.
Yeah, the last two nights. Sleeping pills, sleeping pills.
Get to work.
Yeah. I'm not a druggie, but, you know, hey, sometimes a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
Absolutely.
To get rest.
Yeah.
God, I've been turning, churning, you name it.
Yeah.
It's been horrible.
Yeah. You know what I hate is... you know when you go to the restrooms, okay? Well, in the men's room, they have, obviously, the urinals.
Here?
Yeah.
You're talking about here?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, well, in every public bathroom, obviously.
We've gone to the couch.
Yeah. So, but here, they've got four stalls, okay, two on, like, each side, and about four urinals, you know.
Right.
So... I go in, and the restroom is totally empty. There's nobody there. So I pick a urinal, right? Another guy walks in. He comes right to the urinal next to me and starts to take a piss. Now, you have to understand, I have a hard time being too close to someone and taking a piss. It's just
I know. You've already mentioned that.
I have?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
I have a shy bladder that way.
Well, you couldn't take a piss then?
So, yeah. I mean, so I'm standing there, and I'm thinking... my God, you know, I mean, out of all the fucking, you had seven other places to go and dump your load, and you're coming right next to me, you know? So it's like you have to pretend you're peeing, and then just
and then you and, just couldn't pee.
No,
so you had to
I
hold
couldn't,
it.
Yeah.
You had to wait
he
until
he walked right after me. No, so I'm not going to wait for him now, because I was there first, right? So I can't, like, hang out there for too long. And, yeah, so I left without doing it. And it's really irritating, you know. So I have a lot of complaints about public bathrooms. I mean, they're, like, you know, the etiquette is horrendous.
Where do you think this stemmed from?
What?
You know, that feeling, that fear or... You know that
I'm unable to do that.
That you're unable to do that. Where do you think that fear? Was it from a little boy or was it from
probably,
what?
But I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. Yeah.
That'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
To step back in your unconsciousness mind and figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, why this is?
Yeah, I've made progress though. I mean, I used to be able to not at all, even if there wasn't anybody standing next to me. But if I knew somebody was in the restroom and it's really quiet and they would hear me, I couldn't do it. Now I'm a lot better, okay? So the only time now that I can't do it, if someone practically sits on top of me, you know?
Well,
and these guys just, they don't have any, you know, they don't think, you know?
I
mean, what the fuck, you know? It's like if you noticed in public places, people always spread out, you know, so there's equal distance between them.
Yes.
So like in the elevator or in the movie theater when you go and sit down, there's always
that distance.
Distance,
no one's like getting up on you.
Yeah, because if someone comes too close to you and the rest of the room is empty, you might think they're interested in you or something. I think that's the issue here, and that's why people in the back of their minds just keep that distance.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me give you some women's bathroom humor then.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Okay.
So you go in the bathroom, you know, the women go into the stalls and you hear the little paper tear out.
Yeah.
You know, put on the seat thing.
Yeah, the seat cover.
Yeah, the seat cover, right? So you hear that. And sometimes I actually, you know, I don't know, so for some curiosity's sake,
Right.
I do kind of like glimpse down to see what kind of shoes they've got on. So you see them.
Women in shoes. What is it with
you? I don't know. So you see their feet facing forward and you can tell, you know, that they're leaning over and putting the paper on the toilet seat. And then they do the whole turnaround and it's either the pants down or the skirt up and something like that.
Yeah.
And usually what you find, Because when a woman is having to go for a pee, mm-hmm. when they sit down, their butt cheeks get spread,
yeah,
right?
Obviously. Yeah, if you think then, of the technicality.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then you find them, like, having to let go of gas. But because they know someone else is in there,
right.
you can tell that they're squeezing their ass together to try and stop the sound.
Really? And how do you know all that?
Because,
I mean, how can you tell she's stopping her fart from coming out?
Yeah, because it's...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's like, oops, sorry, you know. A couple of times I have gone into a bathroom and, you know, you go sit down for a pee and you think you're only doing a pee and next thing you let go this whole big gas. So you're just like, oh, what the hell? I'm like, oh, sorry. I've even actually claimed, oh, sorry, everybody, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes someone with humor, that will actually giggle back or something like that.
Yeah.
But you can't help it sometimes.
And sometimes you have someone going in there and they have, like, diarrhea or something.
Oh,
and there's, like,
God.
Fucking explosions in there, you know? Like, and, like, explosions and shit. And you go, my God, just get me out of here, you know? It's just so disgusting. That's why, you know, as I said before, I can't do it in a public bathroom. I can only pee. But forget it. Forget about it, you know? It's just so gross.
I've been in that situation, too, having belly aches. And you're going in there and, you're letting go of the...
It's pretty noisy.
And it makes the bathroom reek. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, but I'm really not interested in hearing other people's bowel movements, or, you know. Or or sometimes, you know, the automatic toilet does not flush and then there's a turd floating
there.
Oh,
you know,
and I can never get that.
I just don't like that automatic toilet, flush.
Yeah, because you can't do courtesy flushes either.
No, you can't.
Yeah, like while you're sitting, you can't just flush it. And so whatever you've done so far is gone, you know. It's just that so you'd virtually would have to get up in order for it to flush and then sit down again or do some kind of acrobatics.
No, I lean forward for the courtesy flush. I lean forward and slightly to the left.
To the left.
Yeah, and I hear it's like, oh, okay, I can continue.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
But, oh, wow, what a way to start off the day, eh?
Yeah, I'm telling you, but bathrooms.
Yeah, I think bathroom humor is always funny. Yeah. Have you ever seen the script, and I can't recite this because I can only probably mention a couple of them, but have you ever seen a bathroom, like, it described the type of turds that everyone does, right? And then you've got the one, the snake. You've got the invisible turd. You've got the...
what the hell is an invisible turd?
The bomb. Oh, when you know you've done a shit, but when you look down, there's no shit, and you go, like, where the hell did it go?
I see.
You know?
It just went down the tube, right?
It went down the tube. And then, of course, you've got... the snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine the snake. Going,
oh, yeah. Don't make me imagine things like this now.
I gotta find that. It is so hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bathroom turd humor.
Yeah.
It's
you
so
know,
funny.
And then I think of the people that invent, you know, when you go to the novelty stores and they have all kinds of like tricks and stuff to pull on people, and then they have like a piece of turd there, like shit, you know, rolled in a circle. And you go, who thought about this? And then the people that actually had to design this, you know, it's like, you know, you can imagine, okay, let's see, does shit look like this or does it look like that? Should, you know, should we curl it over here or over there?
And make a little ice cream cone.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh,
it's
God.
Just, I'm telling you, defecation. Man, I wish we didn't have to do it.
I know, but we have to.
Yeah. Yeah, if you ever feel inferior to someone, just picture them taking a shit. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That'll put you right on the equal
level.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, dude. Come on. You take a shit, too. So don't you think yourself better than me, mate.
Yeah. I know. You look ridiculous on that toilet just like I do.
Yeah, it's just like... I've been caught a few times on the loo. Like, oops, sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
That
Sorry.
Would be embarrassing. That would be embarrassing. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so what do we have going on today?
Well, we have a lot of things. So yesterday was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And so you went to sleep, actually, on Valentine's Day with some sleeping pills, right?
Yeah, okay. I did. I took myself off
to bed. What time did you go to bed?
9:30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 9:30. Well, you know, I did it the night before, and I thought, oh, my God, I almost slept through my alarm.
Yeah.
So I went to bed at 9:30, and I took 3/4 of the pill. And oh, my gosh, I can't believe how well they work.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. It's like, yeah, sleeping pill. Yeah, what are they going to really do?
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. I lay down.
So why did you take them? You felt that you weren't tired, but you wanted to get some sleep?
No, I was tired. I was tired. The thing is because, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going through your mind, and I often lie down and my mind hasn't rested
because I see.
I've got so much, you know, things going on in my head.
Right.
And a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress, you name it, all this kind of stuff. I can't wait to start my new job because at least I know that I'm going to get a paycheck sometime soon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, of course, it's all wiring, you know.
Yeah.
It's all wiring. And so, yeah, I was like, someone gave me a few sleeping pills and said, well, you know, hope these help.
Yeah.
And I went, thank you very much. But I didn't take them for a couple of weeks because I've never been one to, you know. When I was working at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas as a dealer, the most common thing that, you know, the drugs that we would take as dealers because of the environment, because of the hours and everything like that, we were popping sleeping pills. We were doing, I know some people were doing cocaine. I know some people.
And they didn't give you
taking
any drug
uppers.
Testing?
Oh, yeah, no. When you first apply for a job in the casinos in Vegas, you take drug tests, piss, blood, and your hair as well.
Right. But what about random testing once you're employed? They don't do that?
You know, I mean, I think it. I only know of one guy that they actually did a random test only because some nights he'd come in like really down and he'd half asleep and he looked like really fucked up.
Yeah.
And then other times he'd come in and he's all like, hyper, you know, like this one. And everything was like, man, there's something wrong with this dude, you know? So, he was tested positive for God knows what. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got rid of him.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what happened to him after that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they either, like, I had a, what do you call it, the graveyard shift.
Right.
And I'm not kidding. You would have to wake up at, like, 1 a.m. in the morning.
To
get to work.
Yeah.
You know, by 3, so to speak.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, it's just so unnatural for your body to do this.
Right.
So we'd go to work, and we wouldn't get off work until, you know, midday.
Mm-hmm.
And your body is just aching to go to bed. But you get home, and your body is still having all these poker machine ding, ding, dings, and the chips going chink, chink, chink. I mean, it's just crazy. And I've gone to bed where I'm still dealing the game in my head. I'm counting numbers. I'm adding up. You know, because I used to deal roulette, mainly. Adding up the checks, you know, the counts out. And, I mean, my God, it just drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Just drove me nuts. So, everyone used to go on the drink right after work.
Yeah, I would imagine you'd need some drugs or something
and then sleeping pills and, like, just knock us out. Because that's the only way we can actually get to sleep.
Yeah.
So, no one has a social life. And then you find everyone starts fucking each other in the casino.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is no other social life
in
the casino.
Right.
So,
I was reading something about romances in the workplace, and apparently quite a few people do it, and now they advertise it. You know, they let other people know, hey, because it used to be like discreet, you know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I was reading this on CNN the other day.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so it's like becoming, I mean, it's always been popular because it's such an easy way to meet somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't have to go through all the introductions and the blind dates and all that stuff.
You already know the person.
You already know them, right. And I think for that exact reason, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because once something bad happens, then you guys still have to see each other
yes.
and pretend that everything's okay.
I know. You know? Well, the number one job where sexual relations and, you know, relationships occur are in the casinos because of the shifts, because of the time.
Yeah.
You're on a table for an hour, you get a 20-minute break. Mm-hmm. You go back on the tables for an hour and you get another 20-minute yeah. break. I mean, you're literally living in each other's pockets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So many people I know. Everyone in the casino that I knew mm-hmm. was dating someone else in the casino
yeah.
in the same, you know, area.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's
I never
expected.
Did it. I never
yeah.
did it.
Yeah. You know, somebody sent me a really funny joke on the internet, and I'll try not to read it, but I mean, I more or less remember it. But yeah. So God went to the Arabs and said, you know, I have commandments for you that will make make your lives better. And they go, can you give us an example? And God says, thou shalt not kill. And they say, not kill? We're not interested. So he went to the blacks and said, I have 10 commandments. You know, so the black wanted an example. And the Lord says, honor thy father and mother. And so the black said, father, we don't know who our fathers are. We're not interested. So then God went to the Mexicans and he says, I have commandments. And the Mexicans also wanted an example. And God says, thou shalt not steal. Not steal? We're not interested. So then he went to the French and said, I have commandments. And the French too wanted an example. And the Lord said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Not commit adultery? We're not interested. Finally, he went to the Jews. And he said, you know, I have 10 commandments. I'm sorry. He said, I have commandments. And they go, commandments? How much are they? And he goes, they're free. We'll take 10.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, so that's a joke to offend just about everybody.
Yeah.
And it works. You know, so that's funny. I can joke about the Jews.
Yeah.
But it's... You know, it just uses every stereotype in the book, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It does, doesn't it? Doesn't
yeah.
it?
So,
God, I wish I had a mind to remember jokes because I've heard some real beauties.
Really?
Yeah. yeah. And I've never been one to remember them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I've got to have them written down.
Yeah, I know.
And then I've got to pretend.
Yeah, and then you
I'm
read it and it
yeah.
doesn't sound the same. I know.
No, I can do it. I
yeah.
can read them out and
yeah.
make it funny.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm an actress. I can do that.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
So anyway, for our listeners who would like to call, I remember our number. Give us a call. We can talk about anything. The number is 866 or 1-866-515-6977. Again, the number is 866-515-6697. All the lines are open.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only have one. And so we're going to have a special guest at 10 o'clock, which
yeah.
will be nice. And we're heading towards the weekend.
What's
her
name? Sage?
Yeah, well, we'll find out.
I think your name's Sage.
Yeah, you know me and the and names and stuff.
Yes, I know.
So let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll come back and we'll continue.
Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Okay, we are back on air.
So did you make it to the bathroom in time?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Good.
Speaking of bathroom talk, huh?
Yeah.
Made me want to go. Didn't expel anything, though.
No, good. No accidents, huh?
No.
Good.
And no one was in the bathroom.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You had smooth sailing.
Well, do you want to hear some political stuff? You know, because
obviously,
Barack is obviously making a lead in the game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when something like that happens, they're always going to try and do something that's going to, you know, degrade or make it look bad or make it look like he's the bad person and everything like that.
Yeah.
Well, there was a picture that uh-huh. was taken inside of Barack Obama's campaign office.
Right.
There's a flag... a Cuban flag, right? With have you heard of Che Guevara?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. The Cuban revolutionary.
Yes, that's right. So there's a Cuban flag with Che's face on the
really?
Yeah,
wow.
in his campaign office.
Campaign office?
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
But well, I mean,
wait. I mean, you know what? This country deserves everybody that they vote for. This country voted twice for Bush, and we ended up with the worst.
Didn't we?
I mean, that people didn't see the first term as a mistake and went on and elected him again.
Yeah.
I've become disillusioned with really, you know, who we're getting here for president.
Yeah.
And you know, I have really nothing against Obama. But,
no, I don't either. Definitely yeah. not.
But,
you know.
But, you know, I mean, his background is not quite, you know, what you would expect from a president, you know. And
it's an
know,
American. I mean, like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
I don't know. I don't know. But he, you know, of course, now in the campaign, I mean, Hillary's pretty desperate at this point. So
yeah.
there's a lot of negative campaigning going on. And stuff, and you know, I mean, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
you know,
so. I had received an email, you know, one of those chain letter emails about a week ago,
right.
You know, about this is the real story behind Barack Obama, and I started reading, and it was like, oh bullshit, come on, you know, and they're trying to link it. They were totally trying to link him up to terrorists.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of his middle name, Hussein. I mean, like, yeah. come on, please.
Yeah. Well, he is, I think he's got some Muslim in him, you know, so.
And so what? This yeah. country is,
well,
is
just
so
given,
diverse right now.
Right. But given the fact that we've become pretty disillusioned with Muslims, you know,
yeah.
I mean, yes, it's usually the extremists and all
yes.
that, but I just think that people have sort of like a bad taste about it. But apparently, it's not really going into consideration in these elections. You know, I mean, people are voting for him anyway.
Yeah, they
so,
are.
So, whatever. Let's just hope that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was mentioning, you know, like now that he's being in the lead, more people are going to be saying, well, shit, you know, he must be doing something right. He's winning, you know, all the delegates.
Yeah.
Well, let's start voting for him. So it's like kind of like a snowball
right.
effect.
Right.
And I think
yeah,
he's
going
to lead down to yeah. winning the campaign.
Yeah, they've got a momentum.
Yes.
And you know what the problem with McCain is did you hear what he said? He says we'll stay in Iraq for 100 years. I am sort of taking that out of context because I didn't really read the whole article. But the thing is, if he thinks he's going to win on that platform, he's wrong.
You know, oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, we need to get out of there, and everybody knows it. Everybody feels it. And if he's going to go around talking about this, because, I mean, it's already known that he's for the war and for staying there, you know, so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if that's going to hurt him during the general elections.
Yeah. I would have to revise the campaign debates
yeah.
on that one. I know that, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, what an idiot.
Yeah, and what about this gunman in Illinois shooting the students and the professor?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I actually saw that on the news last night.
Yeah, I mean, that is terrible. I mean, these school shootings, it's just there's no end to it.
And then last week, remember the other crime in, it was here in L.A. or outside of L.A., one of the suburbs out, or, you know, I mean, other places outside of L.A.
Right.
A 15-year-old shot his classmate, another 14-year-old, and shot him like 3 times in the head.
Yeah.
In the head. Just like bam, 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 bam. Only because, and this young kid, he had a, he was having difficulties
yeah.
about his gender, you know, his sexual
yeah.
gender.
Yeah. So
and
they picked on
obviously
him.
This other young kid said, I don't yeah. want to have no fag in my classroom.
Yeah.
And actually literally just pulled out a gun and shot him 3 times in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know, but I mean, there's 7 people dead already.
Yeah.
And this guy just walked on the stage, you know.
Yeah.
I would imagine one of
yes,
those auditoriums,
that's right.
you know. So he jumps on the stage, shoots the teacher, and then turns to the students and
to
start
the students
shooting them.
In the stands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
in the auditorium.
Yeah. There were about 21 people
yeah.
that he actually shot, and then he turned the gun on himself. So, I mean, what more can we say about this that hasn't been said already? You know, our culture, I think, encourages this. I think we're preoccupied with violence in this country. And until we do something about this fascination with violence, or, viewing, viewing life as having to, as solving things through guns, this is what's going to happen.
Do you think these young kids these days are infatuated? It's like a fascination. It's like the cool thing. I mean, if you listen to a lot of the rappers' songs, and speaking of rappers' songs, I'm going to bring up 50 Cent in a little bit. But 50 Cent. Oh, and Kanye West. My gosh, you know, they talk about killing and all this sort of stuff and bitches and hoes and everything like that.
Yeah.
And if anyone says, oh, it doesn't really affect the community or young minds, my God, it's the young minds that are so easily manipulated. And when they glorify it, they're going to adapt their minds like, oh, this is the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
If I don't like something, I'm going to shoot it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, but I tend to think that art sort of reflects society. And if people didn't want to consume that, then these songs would never be written or never make it as big
exactly.
as they do.
Exactly.
So it does reflect, I think, our attitude towards women and towards people
it
in
does.
General.
I believe so, too. Yeah. I believe so, too.
So, until things are taken care of, I think kids are still going to keep shooting other kids. And it's
sad.
A tragedy.
It's sad.
It's a tragedy, you know.
And
you don't feel, if you can't feel safe at school, then where else are you going to feel safe? I mean, you spend most of your life there, up until a certain age. And you want to make sure that you feel safe and secure at school. And now they have all these metal detectors. So imagine you walk into your school, there's metal detectors, there's probably like random searches and things like that. So it's become very scary, a scary environment.
That's why I don't want to have children. I just don't want them to grow up in this kind of environment.
Yeah, but that's not the way to think about it. I mean, the thing is, this is
but
the world.
But it's a fact.
What?
It's true, though. I mean, that's
What's
how
true?
I feel.
Yeah, but, I mean, life always sucked, you know? I mean, what were people supposed to say when there was not enough food, there was not enough clothing, shelter, all that stuff? People still had kids.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just the way of the world. I mean, we were born into certain times. Kids now are born into certain times. But you know, to say I'm not going to have kids because of that is sort of like, I think, being too
Well, no, no, no. I think I've decided not to have children because of that, because of the way the world is developing.
Right.
I have chosen not to have children because of the way that I am seeing a lot of things, like, but you know, particularly with the environment, how we're dealing with the environment, how are we dealing with our future of our children. How we did, my God, I can barely take care of myself, let alone bring in an innocent life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not just because of this. It's because I have so many different factors as to why I have chosen not to have children.
I understand, but you just said that's why I chose not to have children.
That's
so
one
I
of the why.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why.
So we clarify
that's
that.
That's one of the reasons why.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of, influenced by artists, rap artists, and everything like that. Kanye West was one of the ones that won the Emmy.
Yeah. Can I correct you?
Kanye. Kanye?
Kanye West.
Kanye West. Yeah. Whatever the fuck his name is. Okay.
All right.
So anyways, he won his Emmy, and I was just listening to his speech that he made when he got up there.
Yeah.
And I've never heard such pathetic English in my life. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
We's up here in the house. We all own the house now. You know, all you artists out there, don't bother trying to make other albums because I own the house. I mean, it was so, like, in poorly. And you've got people there like, the great musicians that have been around for years.
Right.
You know, think of a couple that we've known, like Quincy Jones and
Elton John
and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then listening to this dude telling everybody, don't even bother making albums because I own the house.
Yes. Well, you've got to consider where these people come from. I mean, these are people from poor neighborhoods. They never knew anything. And suddenly they just start cursing and shit with music or a certain beat in the background. And they become extremely rich.
Yeah.
And, so it's sort of like, a slave becoming a king, sort of. Well, I'm using the wrong terms.
Probably.
I'm using the wrong terms, but I'm just trying to explain
yeah.
that, or to demonstrate how, you know, when you come from a certain background, you still don't change the inside of you, you know.
No.
The inside of you stays the same. And these are, you know, people from the streets.
Oh, I like Dr. Dre's expression. I love Dr. Dre. Have you heard of him?
Never. I've heard of him, but I never
heard of
his
him.
Music.
There's one line in one of his clips. You can't turn a hoe into a housewife. And it's so true.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It does. It does. But Miley Cyrus. You notice she's getting a name for herself. She's being a mischievous young lady.
Yeah, why?
How
what
old
she
is she?
Now?
How old is she?
She's probably 17.
Nah, she's not that old. She's got to be about 15 or 16 years old.
Okay.
Not quite 17, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she's now being tagged as the bad girl, becoming the bad girl of Hollywood. And, it all started being a shot taken of her kissing another girl. You know, around her age.
Yeah.
You know, and you can almost see it as being a playful thing. And it did look like more of a playful thing. But it started a roll. And so next thing you know, on her MySpace page, there is several photos of her taking her own photos, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Of her being, you know, doing provocative poses and, uh-huh. and showing a little bit of belly and a little being a bit saucy, you know, a little cute girl saucy.
Well, she's going to lose all her audience, but then again, maybe not, because that's who little girls look up to, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, be sexy as early as possible in your life.
And, yeah, and then you're going to make it big.
Yeah, you know.
Sex
and,
sells,
and
right?
That's why you see girls that are 15 or 14, and they look 20, you know? I mean, they just all the makeup and the way they dress and so forth.
Yeah,
know?
Well, they're slamming on her because she is walking around with itty-bitty T-shirts and short skirts.
Yeah.
I was like, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's still young. She can wear that.
You know?
So, but, you know, we...
Those sexy legs.
Yeah. We didn't discuss Valentine's Day that much, and I wanted to sort of touch on that. So what I did, the first thing that I did is I decided, okay, in order for me to remember Valentine's Day, I'll have to remember it the day before. So, and then I thought, you know, I'm not going to stand in flower shop lines now, try to get flowers that cost four times as much as normal. So what I did is I was with my son Wednesday night, and so I went and got my wife's flowers on Wednesday night, on Valentine's Day Eve.
Okay.
So, I did that, and I felt good. You know, I remembered, and I did a token thing, and then like a couple of years ago, I surprised her with a trip to San Francisco and things like that, and I thought maybe we'd stay at a hotel yesterday, but the prices were so high that I just thought, you know, I'm not going to spend $300 and, you know, just for the night, just to say I'm at a hotel in L.A., you know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of stupid. So, and plus I had to stay late here because we had Greg's show, Barbecue Central, at 6. And
right.
then the girls from Broad Topics were here at 7 until 9. And I told my wife, I said, I totally forgot, you know, what are we going to do? And she wants to go out for Valentine's Day. I wanted to go out. So we decided she's going to come down here to downtown, and we'll go here. So so we decided to try the Standard Hotel across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we go there. You know, let me just mention, it was extremely windy and cold down here last night. It was just, you know, horrendous. And so like we're walking, and we decided, okay, we'll go to that restaurant. So we go inside, and she was all dressed up and everything, and I was still in my work clothes, you know, in jeans and stuff. So I didn't feel that comfortable going in there, but I figured, what the hell, you know, so let's go. And then, of course, you go in. Do you have reservations? No. Okay, well, you can sit outside. And I'm telling my wife, it's really windy outside and cold. What are we going to do outside? So we said, okay, let's try.
Wait outside?
No, not to wait. To eat outside. To sit.
Oh,
to sit
right.
at the table outside.
Okay,
yeah,
yes.
Outdoors. And so we said, okay, let's try it. You know. So we go there, and they have heaters and everything, which is fine. So, and you couldn't feel the wind that much. So we sat down, and you know, I'm just still a little uncomfortable and everything, you know, because you know, I don't like this bullshit with Valentine's Day, you know. So we're sitting there and we get the menus. And these menus were especially printed for Valentine's Day. It's not the general menu. It's a special menu. Right. And so I'm checking it out, and there's no prices next to the... It's like a whole meal, you know, the first course and all that stuff. So I'm looking, and there's no prices next to it. So I look at the bottom, and there's one inclusive price for everything. $55 a person, right? Hmm. Now, I'm thinking that's $110 plus tax plus tip, $150.
Right.
That you have to spend in about an hour that you're going to totally forget about the following day. So, you know, so, I mean, I, you know, when I'm going to spend $150, I'm going to think, okay, how long is this going to last me here? You know, whatever I get out of it. So, but to spend that kind of money for 1 hour just to say I'm going out to dinner on Valentine's Day is not an option for me.
Right.
And I told my wife, I said, I'm not interested. Let's get up and leave. And so she's like, no, let's stay. So a couple minutes later, she's, okay, let's leave. So we get up and leave, you know. Mm-hmm. And because I said, this is bullshit. So then we argue about which restaurant to go on across the street. And so we decide to go into Wolfgang Puck. Okay, they have some Italian food in that. So we go in there and we sit down. We order our drinks. We order our... food, mm-hmm. And then we sit there and we start arguing, right? Oh. So here we are arguing on Valentine's Day, and you know, I was just like tired. I didn't have like the patience for this, so I just told her, okay, that's it, enough. So I get up, take my jacket, and walk out, right?
Oh my!
I'm walking out of the restaurant, and so I thought, okay, I'll just stand outside, have a cigarette, cool off, and then go back in. So then a couple seconds later, my wife comes out, you know. So we decided we're just going to leave, you know. So, yeah, because, you know, I mean, it just the mood was ruined, you know.
Yeah.
So we're outside and we're just walking away from the restaurant. And I'm thinking, we just left our fucking drinks and our food behind us and we left.
You didn't like, even pay for it.
No, we didn't pay for it because we never were served, you know. I mean, it was just like
few
minutes
yeah.
after we ordered. But you would imagine they already started preparing the drinks and the food.
Yes.
So then the waitress probably came back.
Came back
and like, where the fuck are they? So that was funny. I mean, I never pulled anything like this before. But
oh, my God. You should have gone to Pino Cafe.
Yeah. Well, we didn't think about it. And besides, because I think in the back of my mind, I thought it's probably going to be full, you know. And like I said, all these nice restaurants... it's the same bullshit with a Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like New Year's Eve, you know? They charge you so much. And I feel like they're in the back of the room are laughing at us, saying, ha, 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 you know, we screwed you because we're charging you four times as much as this meal would normally cost. You know, and I just feel like a fool, you know? Call me weird, but that's how I felt about it.
Well, I can tell, I would have recommend anybody to go only because I've been there. And I did taste the food, and that was that cafe down there, the Pino Cafe.
Right.
It's not a cafe. It is a restaurant.
Yeah. It's a nice restaurant.
It's a really nice restaurant.
Yeah. So
and
I would imagine
the service
they're...
is top-notch. And the food, I really felt that it was very, very reasonable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been last night, you know? I mean, I'm sure they would charge you $80 to $100
a
person.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it's just, that's a lot of money just to eat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when, look... The point of all this is at the end of the evening, okay? At the end, I mean, you sit there. Yeah. You eat for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, you sit there for another fucking hour to warm up your seat, and then you end up paying so much fucking money. And the point is, I could have gone to McDonald's, also got my stomach full for $5. So yes, so there's a happy medium somewhere there, and that's what I like to find.
So about 5 or 6 hours later, you'd be better off shitting out a $5
exactly
McDonald's versus
it all ends up as shit. That's right.
Shitting out $100 food.
I'm telling you, you know. And if you want atmosphere, go and sit at a bar, you know. But to spend that kind of money on dinners is just, you know, outrageous.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. no man can impress me about, you know, with taking me to an exclusive restaurant or anything like that. It just doesn't appeal to me, because I do have this thought process, like, why are we spending this money on food when I could just cook it myself and it'd be so much better?
Yeah.
A lot less expensive.
And you can make it romantic and all that. But no, I mean, sometimes it's nice just to go out and be among people.
Yeah. You know, well, that's what the bars do. You just go sit at a bar and you have a few drinks.
Yeah. You know, and then also, not only do you pay those prices, but to wait to be seated, you have to wait another half hour to 45 minutes just so you can pay them for an overpriced meal. You know? I mean, well, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to wrap my mind around something like this, you know? And but we go out and we eat.
I'm with you.
It's fun.
I'm with you on that.
But you can't
totally
overdo
agree.
That, you know? And I think it's ridiculous to go to extremely expensive restaurants.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. It's just, you know, to impress people or whatever it is. I mean, if you have the money, yes. You know, if you have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But just to go there to say you've been to a nice restaurant doesn't fly with me.
Well, hey, I know what, what's his name, 50 Cent's ex-girlfriend had in mind.
What's that?
Well, obviously, they're in this child support thing going on, right, with the courts and that. And her name is Saniqua.
Okay.
Saniqua Tompkins. Okay. Well, she's been taking 50 Cent to court to get child support. And her lawyer has been saying, well, she needs $50,000 a month child support, right?
Uh-huh.
Because she needs to take care of her son. We've got to make sure her son is secure and blah, blah, blah. $50,000 a month.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Well,
Come on,
the law works
based
on what you're accustomed to. And if you're accustomed to living on that, then
she
that's
what you
deserve.
She wasn't even accustomed to that. It was just his baby. She was a fuck. That's what it was.
I see.
You know, and she just
so
happened to have a kid.
So it's not his wife or
anything. No.
Yeah.
No,
he's not.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. But anyway, the judge ended up turning around and saying, you're just bloody insane. Okay, you're gonna only get $6,700 a month. So we've got some Sequoia getting $6,700 a month. We know what she's gonna be doing with $6,700, paying a babysitter, take care of the kid, and she's gonna go out and party. Go buy yourself a new Mercedes. Go buy yourself a condo.
Yeah,
living it up, the lifestyle.
I guess you deserve something like that when you screw someone like 50 Cent. You know? Yeah, so.
I see that that's a common thing, you know, particularly with women who are gold diggers. They go out, try and get themselves pregnant.
Yeah. Women and gold diggers?
No. Oh, yeah, no. Of course not. And I know a few. I know two women up in Seattle who fucked Shaquille O'Neal. And Shaquille O'Neal has to pay them child support.
Yeah.
And they come into the Mercedes-Benz dealership up there.
Yeah.
I won't say which one. And they've got the S-Class Mercedes and everything like that. And they all use his name.
Yeah.
And he ends up paying for the services and the repairs.
Well, he
the
deserves
Mercedes-Benz.
It. You know, I mean, if he can't use birth control, then I have no sympathy for these people.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Used to crack us up. Which one is she? Which one's she?
Yeah.
So.
I know. Well, we got to prepare for our guest. So
hang
in there. We'll be right back.
All righty. We'll be back. We'll be back. Some music, Sam. Some music, Sam.
Okay. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Hey. Oh, you can't get some music going on
here?
Of course
I do. Of course I do. No, it's just that... Okay, we're back without a guest.
Yeah, they haven't arrived yet.
No, they just called and they're on their way, so they're a little late.
But do you want to hear something?
Yes.
I almost got hijacked in the elevator.
You did?
Yes.
By whom? By a terrorist?
No, by some guy who was obsessed with me. He goes, no, you can't go yet. You need to tell me who you are.
Are you
You're
serious?
You're just so gorgeous. Oh, my God. And he pressed all the buttons.
Are you serious?
So that he could continue to talk to me.
Wow. Wow. Why didn't you just get out on one floor and take a different elevator? My God.
Because I was trying.
I would have been scared if I were a woman. My God. Jeez, the shit you guys have to put up with. You
oh,
know?
I know. He was like staring at me like,
I don't believe
oh my
the shit
God,
that men do.
Oh, my God, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And then next thing, he kept on pressing the buttons. And he
wow,
says,
wow, did you just look at him like dumbfounded?
Yes.
I mean, I would have. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
I was like, oh, this isn't yeah. my floor. And he goes, no.
No, I would have started fucking ringing the bell and kicking the door and everything.
Well, he came up to the 36th floor. And yeah. And so I said, look, if you want to find out who I am, go to BBS Talk Radio. And that's all I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I was like, what the fuck? Well,
yeah, know. That's right. I'm famous now. You can look me up.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to know who I am, go to BBS Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sam and Manu show.
God, man. I mean, sometimes I'm ashamed to be a man, you know? It's the shit that men do, you know, sometimes. I mean, give me a fucking break, you know?
You know, every morning that I come in, mm-hmm. and then every time I go out, you know, the security guards
yeah.
that open up the door for you and that,
yeah.
they always want to stop and talk to me like, oh, yeah. how are you today?
Yeah.
How was your show today?
Yeah, you see,
you
as
have
a pretty
great
woman,
day.
As an attractive woman, you draw different kinds of attention than other people would.
Oh,
so
yeah.
what happens is, some other people they wouldn't even bother with. You know,
yeah,
so you experience life differently from someone who's not pretty, okay?
Yeah, I do.
So you experience it. But, you know, you're talking about the security guards. You know, I always make eye contact. I always smile to people that I don't know even.
Yeah.
You know, it just,
they
that's
know
the way
me.
I am.
They know
I,
me by name.
Each and every one of them never returns a smile or an acknowledgement.
What?
Even if they look you in the eye. And never mind that most of the time they don't even look me in the eye. But
right.
when they do, and I smile, they just turn away. And
aww.
Yeah, so this is just like a shitty feeling that then you decide, okay, you know what? This fucker, I'm never going to look at him again. I'm never going to acknowledge that he exists, you know? Same with the bitch down there, too, you know? I mean,
oh,
they just, like, sit around
that,
all day
doing nothing. Security
yeah.
woman down there behind yeah. the thing? Yeah, I tried to get
not
her
behind the thing. She just sits on those chairs out there, you know?
Oh, the female. Yeah, well,
yeah.
she's behind the counter now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she goes, like, who are you again?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm from...
I know, they've got bad attitude with the security in this building, and I need to tell someone about
yeah.
this, because I'm really
well, as long as they have ID, then there shouldn't be a problem. And what's your name? I was just like, it doesn't matter. It's the show, the BBS Talk Radio,
right.
the Sam and Manu show. That's mm-hmm. all you need to know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you can imagine they didn't have to be very bright to get these jobs in the first place.
You know, I was just thinking that when I was down there.
Yeah.
I was looking at her and looking at the other security guard. I was like, poor fuckers.
Yeah, fucking
they're just
piece
standing
of shit.
Here. Well, you know what? Someone's got to do the job, right?
Yeah, yeah. For those of you who are wondering where our guest is, they are on their way. So we will bring them in momentarily as soon as they show up. So
yes.
We're not going to do this to you. We're not going to, you know, if we promised a guest, we're going to have a guest.
Yeah.
And if they flaked out on us, I would drive to their place, bring them back here, and interview the hell out of them.
So yeah. where do you tell them to park?
Pershing Square,
you
where
do?
We park.
You
yeah.
do? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, in L.A., with all the traffic, you often run late, and people understand it.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I can't get pissed at them because it's happened to me in the past.
Yeah.
And the traffic is just so horrendous. Like, let me give you an example. When I come when I drive here in the morning, okay,
mm-hmm.
Somewhere on the way on the freeway, there's a sign that tells you how many minutes you have until you get there, until
I've
you get
them.
To downtown.
Yeah.
So every day it's different, obviously. It depends on what time you leave the house, on the traffic conditions and all that. But normally it's about 20 to 30 minutes for me when I get to that sign.
Right.
Right? Yesterday, 55 friggin' minutes.
So they got it wrong?
So it's like, no. They get it
oh.
right. They knew it would be 55.
Really?
It's always right on the money. They're always extremely accurate.
So, that's good to know. I always wondered about that.
So if it says 25 minutes, you'll be there in 25 minutes.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 55 minutes, and I'm getting halfway there, and I see the traffic is not going anywhere, and I'm still looking at about 30 minutes of drive. So I just left the freeway, got out of the freeway, took the streets, and I saved about 15 minutes.
I always take the back streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the morning, it's just a given. It's like I always see that 5 South. You know, I take Riverside Drive, and then I go up through Elysian Park, and there's absolutely no traffic whatsoever.
Yeah, that's
through,
good.
Through, off of Riverside, and you go up through Elysian Park, and then the only part of the 110 that I have to, like, scoop over, I have to get over quickly, because then I take the Hill Street exit, you know, down into Chinatown.
Uh-huh, right.
Come right through Chinatown, and there's no traffic.
Yeah.
I come all the way down here. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Very fast.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you can imagine when you leave the house, you're anxious to get to the office, and you're looking at 55 fucking minutes. That's a long time.
Yeah.
To be sitting in traffic.
I've done that before.
You know? Yeah, but I mean, at 55 minutes, the traffic is barely moving.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what you have to look forward to. And so that's L.A. for you. That's traffic in L.A.
And that's why you listen to Howard Stern on the way in?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do. She gave away my secret. Yeah. And,
that's no secret.
No, it's not a secret. I love him.
Yeah.
And maybe one day I'll be like him, huh?
You? What about me?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can't be Howard Stern. You don't have a pair of balls there.
No, I'll be Robin.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard Robin tell Howard Stern to fuck off.
She did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I mean, they have that kind of a relationship.
Like, you go, Robin.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I'm sure you'd tell me to fuck off, too, if the situation warranted it, right?
I said, I'll fuck you, Sam.
I don't remember it, but that's a good thing. No.
No, when we're talking about Australia or something like that.
Oh, is it?
You remember?
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so I didn't have to apologize to you. You already cursed me out, right?
Yes.
So what did I apologize for? Shit, I already paid for it.
No.
You're funny.
Well, you are too. That's why I'm here, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, check this out. OJ, you know, what is going on with that man? First, he gets away with murder.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And then he got caught doing a robbery, which is why he's been on this probation thing. I don't know what the robbery was about or something like that, but I happen to know it was something affiliated with robbery.
Yeah, well, he broke into a Las Vegas hotel room with a couple of tough guys, and they were trying to reclaim what he says was his property.
And, are you serious?
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
But the guy at the hotel claimed it was just collectibles, and he was trying to sell them. You know,
right.
That he had paid for it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's what OJ did.
Okay. And, well, you want to hear what he's up to now?
So where do we stand now with that?
Well, now his girlfriend, Christy Prody, is hospitalized.
Yeah, he's got a girlfriend again?
Yeah, he's
another
got
nutcase?
A white girl. White girl,
that
right?
Wants to get killed.
Okay, yeah, a stupid-ass white girl. And she was taken to hospital a couple of nights ago with severe head injuries and bruising all over her body.
Severe?
Yeah, severe. Severe.
Wow.
Where they think, I don't know if this is true, where they think they might even have to do brain surgery or some sort of head injury surgery.
Wow.
Something like that.
When did this happen? I didn't see that.
A couple of nights ago. A couple of nights ago. Anyways, he's saying, she fell down the stairs. Okay? All right? So anyways, the news got back today from the medical reporters, you know, the medical examiners and everything like that. They are saying that this is an obvious battery case.
Yeah.
So now, it's been established now that it was via domestic violence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know how many more times he's going to get out of this, but this time he's in. I mean, he's got to. He's, you know, I mean, he's facing two convictions, you know, so.
I know.
But he's.
Like,
yeah, you see, I mean, I would think you would go nuts when everybody snubs you, you know, and nobody wants to be around you and stuff. Although there are some people that will be around him, but he lost that star power that he had.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Who did he play for originally?
I think the Dallas? San Francisco 49ers, if I remember correctly. The Buffalo Bills, maybe. I don't know. He played before my time, before I started watching
football.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
I do remember him.
Yeah.
Vaguely, I remember him in the football. But then I do remember him specifically when he was going through that court case against killing his wife.
Yeah.
Nicole, right?
Yeah.
Nicole?
How can you not remember?
How can you not?
Yeah.
I still remember the glove thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like his hand, like really rigid, like, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. You know, like, bullshit.
It was a sham, that whole fucking trial. But I was glued to it like nothing else. You know, I had to watch this every day.
Because it became humorous.
It did. It became like a show.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know.
I know. It was a real life drama.
It was a reality show.
Just watch how everybody's fucking up that case.
I know. And then anyways, on a more happier note.
Uh-huh. This is boy, you're full of news today.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson? Are you into Pamela Anderson?
No.
No,
I'm not into her. She's too fake for me. You
too
know?
Fake?
I go for the natural stuff.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, she was in Paris last night, and she was shaking her titties at the Crazy Horse Strip Club.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it with all these chicks now wanting to be strippers?
I don't know.
Huh? You told us about
Britney Spears dancing on the pole.
Right.
And then
Paris Hilton tonguing some chick in a bar.
But before that, apparently, before she went to the Crazy Horse in Paris, I've been to the Crazy Horse in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
so
that's a topless bar.
Yeah, what a dive bar. No, it's a strip club. Strip club, the Crazy Horse in Vegas.
It's totally nude there?
It's totally nude.
Oh, okay.
And it's got some nasty women in there, I tell you.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, ew.
Well, who gets a job like that? You know, give me a break.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's an animal rights activist.
Yeah.
You know, so she was doing this whole big campaign, don't kill the baby seals, and don't kill this, and don't kill that.
Yeah.
And then later on, she's shaking her tits at a titty bar.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about Pamela Anderson. She's just, I mean, she's a character. She's fun to watch, but I'm not really into her in that way.
No.
You know?
Well,
give me someone natural. I'll take Keira Knightley over her any day.
Yeah, she is cute.
She's
Keira
very,
Knightley.
Very cute. There's a lot of cute girls.
She has a new film out.
Yeah,
again.
Atonement.
Another one.
Oh, another one.
No, not Atonement.
Right, but another one.
Another one.
Right. She's been very busy doing movies.
She has,
She's very popular now.
Yeah. Well,
she must be making two, three films a year at least, you know?
Something
like
that.
That's what it seems like. And she's good. She's a good actress, too.
Yeah, you know? I think so.
And but did she get married or is she, like, seeing someone, you know?
I don't. No.
Yeah, I think she's probably seen someone.
She's still considered the good girl.
Yeah.
I think everyone's waiting for her to fuck up somewhere.
Maybe.
You know, I think that's everyone's expectations.
Yeah, well, everybody fucks up. Why wouldn't she? You know, so do you think our guests are here already? Maybe we should wait a little while longer just to make sure they're here.
Yeah, well, I can always go out and pop out in a minute and check again for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, what did I want to tell you about?
I don't know.
No.
What did you?
Okay. Well, it is a beautiful day out there. Always.
Actually,
when you don't have
is.
Something to say, just go to the weather. It always works.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. What I'm going to do is since...
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's how I feel. Like we just broke the dishes. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll get our guests in, and we'll be right back.
Laugh. Cry. Only with BBS Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back.
We are back.
Did you find our guests?
Yes, we did. They're right here.
Wonderful.
Look at them. We made it.
They made it. Okay, so we have a gentleman here and a sweet little girl that's next to him. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Okay, I am Dave Shelton. I'm a film, television writer, producer, director, and animator. And to my right, I'm sure your audience could see that, is Sage Ryan Campbell, an amazing young actress who has a wonderful resume, and she's going to be starring in a bunch of our projects together.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
All right.
So, hi, Sage.
Hello.
How are you? Okay. I know you can't see me very well because I'm behind the monitor. And
Sage is 2 feet tall for the listening audience.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, Sage, so tell us a little bit. So you're an actress.
I am.
Right? And how old are you?
I'm 12.
Oh, you're 12.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't really look like it, but.
Nice.
Do you think you look older or younger?
Definitely younger.
Yeah?
I'm not very tall at all.
Well, you look so cute. Yeah. Actually, by her website, I really, really thought you were only about like 9, 10 years old.
That's actually very common. That's pretty much usually what I'm guessed at.
Yeah.
And how long have you been acting?
For about 4.5 years now.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. What was your first gig?
My first project was a commercial for Jif Peanut Butter, and luckily, actually, we got very lucky with that one. It played for quite a few years. And
I think I remember that one.
So many people know her from that commercial.
It's crazy. I mean, like, you'd expect, you know, if you do a movie, you're going to get recognized from that. But more people have actually recognized me from that commercial than anything else.
Really? Wow. Too bad I don't watch TV, so I didn't see that, you know.
For the listening audience, it's the one where there's this guy, he's on a couch, he's folding a peanut butter sandwich over, and this little girl comes up and goes, "Why do you do that?
Why do you do that, Daddy?"
And he says, "Because my dad did that, and I wanted to be just like him." And then she goes over to the edge of the couch and does it herself.
I remember
so
that.
So you've actually seen her, Manu.
I have. Yeah. That was so cute.
And how
Sage
old, were,
blushing,
how old were you when you did that one?
I believe I was, well, like 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's been a while ago. For you, it's half your life.
But it's still being played.
It does.
Isn't it? Yeah, it still occasionally gets played. Once in a while.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Yeah.
You lucky, lucky little girl.
Yeah, and you get your royalties, and so you're making money while you're sleeping, pretty much, right?
It was a great first project. Definitely, yeah. We were lucky with that one.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
And so, Dave, did you discover her, pretty much, or?
No, she was. Well, I mean, it's kind of a very cool way how we met. I had done a sitcom pilot, and we were premiering it at Raleigh Studios last year. And I was looking for someone for my new projects, and I had seen Sage on that commercial. I says, "I gotta have the girl from that commercial."
Uh-huh.
And coincidentally enough, as it would have it, Sage and her mom were there.
Oh,
and
wow!
I'm like, okay,
wow.
I don't have to go find her manager or agent. All I have to do is just say, "Hi, Sage. Want to be in my movies?" And she's like, "Okay."
It worked out well. It was definitely worth going to the premiere.
Yeah. So what movies did you make, Dave?
Well, no, these are projects coming up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
One is called Nightmare Carnival, and Sage is going to star in that. And we've got an amazing cast that's also going along with that. David Naughton from American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah.
Dean Haglund from The X-Files.
Yeah.
Erwin Keyes from Intolerable Cruelty.
Do you remember when David Naughton did the Dr. Pepper commercial?
Yes.
We talk
about that.
Do you? Is he not proud of that anymore?
No, he loved it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that was like his first big gig because his older brother, James, had already become a successful actor. He was in the Planet of the Apes series and had done other stuff. But then when David came on, that was like his first big gig, and then came Werewolf. And then he had that series, My Sister Sam, with Pam Dauber.
I remember that, yeah.
And then
he was a singer, too. He had that song, Making It. And
I don't know if you remember. It was a big disco song
back in
the 70s.
It feels very strange not knowing about any of that.
Yeah, you see, I know David Naughton.
Yeah, it was
not
as
personally,
big as Pac-Man Fever.
Okay.
Okay, that's staying in this.
I'm just going to stay out of this one.
Yeah.
And Kelly Maroney from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Night of the Comet, she's in it. And then another project with Sage is actually going to be a co-producer is called Shrieking Violet, and she's playing Violet. But this little girl has this amazing screech.
Co-producer?
Yeah. How do you co-produce?
Someone
I wouldn't
so
know
young.
How. Yeah.
It's Sage. Just really like examining over the project and working with Dave about everything and some of the finalizing decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the cast and the crew and
so she gets like
stuff.
A say in all these things.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
I know, it's cool.
Yeah, you're gonna be a movie mogul before you know it. You know?
Well, if Tatum O'Neill could do it, so could Sage.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh yeah, you're right. I remember that.
And Sage, at what age did you feel you wanted to act?
When I was actually about 3 years old, I knew, of course, what I wanted to do, that I wanted to dance and I wanted to act, and because I saw those kids on TV, and it's like, okay, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
It was kind of like a, why not?
Yeah.
You're very, very fortunate, because, you know, the way I grew up in the outback of Australia, and I didn't have a television, and we didn't have radio, because we were in the middle of nowhere. And so I never...
You had wallabies.
Yeah, wallabies and kangaroos and crocodiles, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Lots of snakes, all this great stuff, you know.
And Paul Hogan.
Yeah, oh my God. Please.
Crocodile Dundee.
Sorry, you had Olivia Newton-John, okay?
Yeah. Okay. We think more highly of Olivia Newton-John than we do Paul Hogan,
okay,
believe it or not.
You.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I like Olivia Newton-John.
So do I. And she's gone through some shit, but, you know, she's doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's doing
poor
good.
What's the language, man?
So,
she's from Australia outback.
Yeah. Yeah. She forgot her manners back in the jungle, right?
So,
yeah.
So it wasn't until, you know, much later in my late 20s that I started becoming very interested in the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you are so fortunate that you're in a position being so young and you can bloom so young and make it, you know, like that. And me, here's me, like, really desiring to do it. And I'm at an age where it's like, oh, my God, well, where am I heading? Or how am I going to do this? And how am I going to, you know, become more involved? I mean, I've done a few films myself.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great.
We got a big actress here who's also a biker chick, and she's got a lot going
bikes.
On. Yeah.
Ooh,
that explains the language, right?
Yeah,
the biker part of
there
it.
There you go.
I got to clap.
Yeah.
Well, stage is a phenomenon. It's like, I'm a little biased, but it's just occasionally you see an actress who's just born to do this and just has this persona and this energy, and Sage has it, like, in droves.
You can
stuff.
Totally tell.
Yeah.
I believe the Dave is personally my biggest fan.
Sort of.
No, you're not serious.
Sage is also a national dance champion and cheerleading champion, too, as well.
Whoa.
So multi-talented.
Very
multi-talented.
An amazing dancer.
I've been dancing for
longer,
as long as I can walk.
Yeah.
Really? And what kind of dances do you like to do?
I do mainly hip-hop. I mean, I do all types because I also want to be a dancer. And I've always been told that, you know, you have to have all different types to really be a dancer.
Right.
And to bring your talent to the highest level it can be.
Yeah.
Right.
But my favorite is definitely hip-hop.
Really?
Like
that's what you like?
Everything.
I really want to see this.
Yeah.
Do you have clips on your website? Here?
No, but I have a clip on my camera, which I happen to bring today, that I'll show you afterwards.
Well, we can't show it on radio.
Yeah,
but
I'll show you guys.
I believe that there is one clip. I believe in my reel that it's kind of like a little bit of a while ago. I truly believe that I could do better now, but it's something at least to show.
Right, right. Well,
yeah.
I'm assuming that it's probably the best thing that I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
It was a performance at B.B. King's, a solo performance that I did.
Oh,
really?
I've been to B.B. King's concert.
Over by Universal's City at his club there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun night.
And what was cool is the other night we were at a celebrity event, and there were dance-offs. It was part of a release for Doug Christie's daughter's new CD.
Uh-huh.
And they had a dance-off, and Sage made it to the finals against this, like, giant-sized break dancer dude.
Yeah, he was amazing.
And
this
she,
was
like
15.
Yeah, and 16. She, like, totally blew this guy away.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You have to invite
cool.
me to one of your dance-offs, darling.
I'm on a dance troupe, so we perform.
Woohoo!
Yeah. We did Special Olympics together. I wrote the theme song for Special Olympics, and I introduced Sage and her mom and the dance troupe to them, and they performed at last year's games and were a huge hit, so we're going to have them come back this year.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And Sage, did you learn any acting at all? Did you go to acting school?
Actually, when I started, I hadn't taken any acting classes. I think it was really an amazing luck shot that anything happened. And later, I did get into a few acting classes, but I've never really continued with it that much, acting classes.
Wouldn't you agree, Dave, that when you have someone that's just naturally there, I don't think acting classes are really going to do anything for them because it's so inbred in them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's a natural, and there hasn't been anything dramatic influenced has influenced them yet.
Right, well, as a director, I see that all the time. Right. I could tell if someone has natural talent. I've attended acting classes, and you could have someone who's taken 30 years of method and Stanislavski and every kind of acting you could think of, and if they don't have the talent, nothing is going to sway them over. Like Brad Pitt has never taken an acting class in his life.
No, he hasn't.
And he's an amazing, just gifted, natural actor. Mm. And stage is the same way. I mean, you could get it toned, your acting chops toned, and you could actually sort of just refine it a little. But if it's not there to begin with, then forget it.
Forget it, yeah.
Yeah, like her dancing. I mean, she's taken dancing, but she's a naturally talented dancer. And, speaking of dancing, tell them about Snuggy Bear, because you're a big part of that, too, and there's going to be dancing in that.
Oh, what's that, Snuggy Bear?
Yes, it's Snuggy Bear and the T-Shirt Kids. It's our new children's series that is soon hopefully going into production, and I play one of the only human people of Snuggy Bear's friend, and it's kind of like a crew that goes around and solving mysteries and helping out, and they're also a band.
They're a band of animals, and are costume characters like H.R. Puff and stuff was, or the Teletubbies, those kind of things, and it's really cute. We've got some amazing people in that as well, and Sage, as she said, is the human friend, and the Dolly Rots, I don't know if you've heard of them. They're one of punk's top bands. They're on Joan Jett's record label, Black Hearts. They're doing a national tour right now. The lead singer is
Joan Jett. Is she on tour?
No, the Dolly Rots are, but they're on. Joan Jett has her own label. Black Heart Records.
Okay.
And the lead singer is also doing one of the voices for us. And she was just voted the hottest woman in underground rock right now. And she's so sweet.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that was just announced, and she's so nice and stuff. So they're part of it. We got an amazing cast of voiceover people, and Sage will help choreography some of the dance routines.
You even do choreography?
Definitely. I do a lot of choreography. I've lately been choreographing a little bit for my dance troupe that I'm on.
Right.
And I've been working together with the teacher a lot, and we've been coming up with our whole new set of routines and everything, and it's really cool to be a part of, to be able to say, yeah, I did that. I created that. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's very nice. Now, Sage, do you have any role models in acting that you like to aspire to?
In acting, I've always had this amazing... I've always looked up to Amanda Bynes ever since, you know, all that.
Oh, yeah.
The show. She's always been just so amazing.
She's very talented, huh?
Even when she was a little girl on All That, you know, I loved it. I've always loved Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
I would actually have to agree with you.
It's no matter what she does, she always you can see how talented she is.
Yes, yeah.
She's very free in front of the camera, you know, she's very comfortable.
And she's a good role model because she hasn't Lindsay'd herself or Britney'd herself out or anything.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah. No, I don't think she ever will.
Yeah.
And she's not afraid to, like, make fun of herself or look silly, because that's what you do in acting, you know?
Yeah.
You can't be afraid to get on camera and make yourself look stupid. It's part of acting, you know?
I've done that before.
It's part of comedy.
It's fun, though.
That's what people like, you know? Yeah.
Snuggy Bear's going to be totally like that. It's a free-for-all variety party, mystery-solving Scooby-Doo meets the Monkees
show.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and... we're looking forward to actually working on that.
I remember doing a skit like the Monkees, you know, here come the Monkees. Remember?
we're the monkeys.
With the elephant, the elephant and the big guy with the glasses. I can't even remember the characters, but I remember playing one of those guys.
In fact, Mickey,
it's funny.
Elderly folks and stuff.
Oh my God!
Who remember back then?
Yeah, I like your page. I like your web. Oh, it switched off. I like your webpage there. It's very cute and everything like that. And actually, it's from that picture I thought, it's like, she's probably only about like 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah, but I'm sure you're always mature for your age, right?
Actually, I have always been. They say that I'm very mature for my age. It's so funny because everyone looks at me and they're like, okay, you look 9, but you talk like you're 15. I don't get it.
That's right. I was thinking the same thing.
You do. You're very articulate. You're very cute. Yeah, very cute. Look at those pretty green eyes.
And how do you do at school? Do you do pretty well at school?
Yeah. I am actually homeschooled, but yes, I've been doing pretty well. I mean, I had to start homeschooling because it was interfering a little bit with acting, and the school wasn't very happy that I was missing school. And homeschooling has just worked out so much better, and I'm able to take my work with me in the car. And
yeah.
And who does the teaching for you? Is that your mom?
Yes.
She's an amazing teacher.
Really? Wow. It's admirable to take the time out to do that. You know, to actually teach your child and that. So
yeah.
It's very nice. But what about hanging out with friends your age and stuff? Well, don't you miss that?
I do, because of all the dance classes I take and different tumbling classes and all the kids in my neighborhood, and I still have lots of friends from cheer, everything. I still hang out with plenty of my friends.
Oh, see, that's...
So,
yeah,
she's and not she really has missing a mutual good friend who was actually in the sitcom where we met.
Yeah,
is Jeanette McCurdy, who stars in iCarly on Nickelodeon. She's a friend also, and they get to see each other sometimes as well.
Yeah, it's cool because I do meet a lot of friends actually through acting, and you can tell when there's the people who were really your friend who are just gonna be like, "Hi, I'm dealing with talking to you because I have to."
Oh my God, I can't believe she just said that. She totally understands the concept. Yeah. No, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. So any upcoming projects we should know about?
Well, I just did a movie called Believers that is just released, and that was my first
Warner
actual
Brothers
lead
release.
Role.
Okay. Anybody that we know in the movie?
Johnny Messner from Anacondas, Daniel Benzali, Deanna Russo, who's starring in the new Knight Rider.
Yeah.
John Huertes, who has a couple of movies coming out pretty
soon.
And
John Farley.
And John Farley.
And what's the...
John Farley, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what's the movie Believers about?
Actually, it is more of an adult movie. It's about a cult, and of which we are trapped into, and they kind of try and brainwash people into thinking that fire will descend from the sky, so they must transfer over to the new world.
World, okay.
Exactly.
Is it like a science fiction
really
type
cool.
of a movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Cool.
Like a thriller,
what,
sci-fi.
It's
what
like
a
sci-fi thriller, definitely.
Right, and what is your role there?
I play a role of Libby, and me and my mom and these two paramedics that were also trapped into it because we tried to run away, and then the paramedics saved my mom because she passed out from running. And they were also trapped into the cult now. And it's us trying to escape before, basically, the cult commits mass suicide.
Oh,
wow. That's a real twist in
familiar.
The story.
It's got a great ending. The guy who directed it also did Blair Witch Project.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, tell them about Time Detectives, too.
Oh, and Time Detective is our new series that I'm doing with Dave, where I play a child that finds this magical closet that can travel back in time, and they get an article which finds out something that happened wrong, and we have to go back and, like, solve a mystery of what happened. Like, you know, something would have happened, but it's not supposed to, that would change the future.
Right.
So
right.
we have
like
to go stop
Bill
it from
Gates
happening.
Was never born, if his parents, and like, died in a tragic accident or something.
I love time travel stories. These
I
are
love
awesome.
That.
This
I know,
is great.
I've always been so interested in that. It's kind of like almost a kid's version of Quantum Leap, if you've seen that.
Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I used to
with
love
the
watching that.
Time Tunnel, which is another old classic show.
Yeah, and Sliders. I used to
a little
love
bit sliders
watching
in there
Sliders,
too.
Yeah.
Quantum Leap has always been one of my favorite shows, so it was so amazing when Dave told me about it. I'm like, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, it does.
Dave, do you remember the Time Tunnel series?
I've got it on DVD.
I know, me too.
Of course, Dave has it.
Yeah,
it's
on my collection.
You see, we're dating ourselves now, but that's okay. Yeah. We don't look like spring chickens here.
I don't remember that.
I just ordered the fifth season of I Dream a Genie. So
and Pee-wee's Playhouse, of course. I was there.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Dave, what don't you have on DVD?
Yeah.
Oh, there's still a few things I'm working on.
Yeah.
I know. I was at his house, and he's sitting on the computer and ordering Pee-wee's Playhouse, the first episode, the second season, and the Weird Al show.
No, okay, so you're involved in like child actors and stuff like that.
I used to draw Tweeting Sylvester for Warner Brothers Consumer Products, and I was with Nickelodeon for a long time.
That's right. You said you were an animator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of stuff with animation. I went to the New School in New York City where the Actor Studio is, and I studied animation there.
Right.
And so I've worked with a lot of actors in doing children's books and things like that. So Yeah, I've always loved that kind of stuff. Like when she was three, she knew what she wanted to do. When I was five and I saw my first Flintstones episode, I knew what I wanted to
do. You wanted to animate. Yeah. I know. It's like that's the thing about talent or passion is that it just comes out. You don't have to look for it, you know.
Yeah.
It pretty much just leads you through life and stuff. And but sometimes it takes a long time, you know. I mean, Sage, I commend you for doing something about it so early in your life. I mean, look at us. We're 47, and people still don't know us, you know?
Well,
so,
I'm older than these guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm 47. Yeah, Manu is looking at me like,
what?
I'm sorry.
What?
You see, Manu is a little girl, so I forget.
Right.
But
you're going to hear that later.
But, yeah. But that's okay, because, we've lived a full life pretty much. And we're only now found our passion.
You
know,
you've had a very interesting background, coming from Israel. And
yeah, but,
here,
but, you know, I mean, as far as the passion and doing something you really want to do and that you're good at. You
I
know?
Agree. I mean, you can. I think that the casting directors can tell when you go into an audition if you want to be there or if it's someone pushing you, like, that you have to.
You
be
think
there.
They know that?
Right.
They can
I
sense
think
it?
You can just kind of tell in a kid's face when it's their idea or sometimes, like, their parents' idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason that I believe I've been so lucky because I know
totally
it's my idea.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
It's not hard for a kid to, like, expose themselves at these things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because you. Bringing back to Dr. Phil, I remember seeing this thing with Dr. Phil, and he did a couple of series of it, and it was about you. Did you see that? Okay, it was about these parents, in particular mothers. It was more the mothers that were so obsessed in their own mind what they wanted their child to do. My child is going to do this, and my child's going to do that, and it was push, and it was really, really sad and really ugly. And I think, and you could tell that the casting directors, that they were pushing these kids in front of, they were like, oh, God, I feel so sorry for that child. Because it was all the mother. And the mother's like, smile, do this, do that. And really chastising the child because they didn't do well.
Exactly. And I truly believe that you see that way too much. And
yeah,
I don't know if you saw the show
on
Showbiz Moms and Dads.
No, I have not.
That was just terrible. I mean, there was, like, you could tell it was, like, kind of like the parents' dream that they never got to do, so they want their kid to do it.
Yeah, and they want to live vicariously through their kid.
Yeah, vicariously.
And that happens quite a bit, and that's sad.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
because then the kids
crying.
Turn out to be worse than their parents when they get older.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, look at JonBenet Ramsey. You know, I mean, that was a tragic case of something like that.
Yeah.
Of pushing the kids.
There was a little girl just like that on the show that was into pageants, and you saw her with the tons of makeup and her hair all up with, you know, crying. Like, she just so didn't want to be there. It was so sad, you know?
Yeah.
And
her
mom's like, no, force
it,
you got it.
And she was like 4. She started about 4, I think.
Was it 4?
When the show started, I believe she was about 4.
Wow.
And she was into full pageants and the big dresses and the big hair, and it was just so sad because it's like,
that's
how could
torture.
You put a little girl through that if she doesn't want to?
That's just torture.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that's nice with Sage is that her family life is so amazing. Her mom keeps her grounded.
That's
and
true.
I mean, she's a good mom. She actually she knows when Sage is getting out of hand. And Sage has a bigger brother and sister who are awesome. And
I just watched your mom do the the slapping on the butt thing, like, if you're naughty.
All right, Sage. So your movie Believers is coming out, right?
Yes,
when is it scheduled to come out?
It's
out already.
It's released on DVD and. Yeah,
well,
I'm
going to
go get it.
Okay, it's called Believers. Well, we're definitely going to catch that movie.
And when's Frank
now that we know the star,
out.
You know?
Okay.
So,
Dave just got hit multiple times.
And yeah,
thank you.
So when you actually become big, don't forget Sam and Manu, who believed in you and wanted to have you on the show because they've made you sound interesting, and you are.
Yeah. I didn't have to sell too far.
Though I'm thinking at this point that Dave could make grilled cheese sound interesting, so.
Probably, yeah.
That's next segment.
The next segment. So other than Believers, what's the other project that you were talking about?
There was Shaking Violet, in which
Shaking
I play
Violet. Okay.
Nightmare Carnival and our series Time Detectives.
And Snuggie.
Right. And they're all coming up.
We're in pre-production. Yeah.
They're all in pre-production.
Yeah, so look for these things, and we're going to put a link for you, Sage, on our site so people can go and, and check out your site.
You can also find us on MySpace.
Okay.
Under what?
MySpace.com/SnuggieBear.
SnuggieBear.
And the number one, so SnuggieBear1.
Okay.
Or
and
Snuggie
who's SnuggieBear? Who's Snuggie Bear?
Snuggie Bear is our new kid series for Snuggie Bear and the T-shirt kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
He's a polar
you mentioned
bear.
That. Okay.
Okay. Now, is, nice. That, is that one, the number one?
The number one.
Or one?
Yes,
okay.
It's Snuggie Bear one.
All right.
Okay. All right, sounds good. So, well, thank you for coming.
It's our
thank
pleasure.
Both of you.
So
it's, been a, it's been a pleasure. We always like to see up-and-coming stars. And this is good. We wish you all the best, Sage.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure you're going to make it big. You you have a good head on your shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, she certainly does. She's very adorable. And you can tell that she's surrounded by great people.
Yeah, definitely.
And for the audience out there, we're just looking at the most amazing view out the window here.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Well, he noticed finally.
It is gorgeous. No, they noticed on the way here. They were looking like, oh, my God, look at the view.
No, I understand. Yeah. But anyway, see, our audience likes you, too.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this was Sage, and we're going to be back right after this.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Sage.
Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters, BBS Talk Radio.
And we're back.
That was amazing.
Hang on, my headphones are totally screwed up. Damn it.
He's got to fix it.
People keep playing with my headphones all the time, and it's making me crazy. We're going to get... What I want to do is just get headphones for each one of us here, so each one of the hosts.
You should bring their own headphones. How's that sound?
Or we'll just get them one, but because people are messing with my cords here. she's something, huh? I mean,
isn't
she talks. I'm telling you, these young kids, I don't know where they get all this confidence, man, but they just talk and talk and talk.
No, I think it's inside of them, and they're at an age. You know, when they grow up, they're not being influenced or they haven't been influenced by a lot of negative stuff, you know, particularly when they're that young. And so it's naturally developed inside of them.
Yeah.
And
but there are a lot of kids like that, you know, but not all of them.
I
think you have to be born with the talent, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You know, and it's amazing how, you know, from a little sperm and an egg, you get someone that, you know, comes out and they already got all the talent and everything. And,
It's
amazing, you know, and... But it's nice. I mean, look, if they like it, if this is their piece of cake, then...
It makes me wonder. I mean, it really makes me wonder because I remember when I was a little kid, I was always painting. I was an avid painter. I always used to paint.
Yeah.
And the other thing I used to do, I remember even in preschool, believe it or not, getting up, doing a dance thing in front of the preschool, how little small it was. Okay.
Yeah.
And then in primary school, I was always in the school plays, you know, the Christmas plays and all this other stuff. And then even in high school, I was always one of the leads in the theater productions. And then, you know, I sang for the town festival and all that sort of stuff. And then, I don't know, you know, it disappeared when I went into the military. And then I never thought about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of like lost it. I got lost in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then it never really arose again until much later. And I was like, well, but I didn't know any better. I wasn't really exposed to it.
No, I mean, she lives in the right place.
She lives in the right place.
And
she sees it all and it inspires, you know, young children.
Yeah, and he seems to really be fond of her. I'm sure he's going to do everything he can to make her succeed, you know.
But how can you not be fond of her? She's just an amazing little girl.
Yeah, she's very sweet.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
And very smart.
Yeah.
She's got a
mouth on her.
She's got an IQ on her.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So any good plan, any big plans for the weekend for you?
No, I'm working. I leave here. I'm going to set up the bar because it's going to be a brand new bar, never been served out of before.
Really? So it's brand new?
Brand new.
So you're going to be like a first... are you going to be, a bartender or a waitress?
I'm a bartender.
You are a bartender.
I'm going to be bartender. Yeah.
And you know how to mix drinks?
Yeah. You do? Yeah, that's what I've always done.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay, good.
And so, I mean, but it's the most appropriate job to get when you are doing acting and this kind of work.
Yeah, because so you work in the evenings.
You work in the evenings and you get free to do auditions during the day and so on.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, we wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
And... maybe you'll mix us some drinks one day.
Well, Sam, if you come in, you will be getting a few free drinks from me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, this place smelled or stank like wine last night because the four ladies of our show, Broad Topics, decided they're going to celebrate their Valentine's Day here. So they brought wine and glasses, and then I come back in to help them conclude the show.
Yeah.
And the place just smells like a brewery, you know? And they downed the bottle like no problem at all, you know?
Oh, well, between four ladies, that's a glass
and
a half.
It's just small in here, so it really really was smelling like wine.
Well, at least you know they had fun.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm very sensitive to smells, you know? It's like, you know what gets me the most is when you get into an elevator and then a woman comes in, like, you know, just reeking.
Reeks of perfume.
Perfume that smells like roses. I hate perfume that smells like roses. It smells like fucking... Like a air freshener, you know, that you use in the bathroom. Those are made of roses, you know, or they smell like roses. And these women come in, and I'm thinking bathroom, toilet, you know? That's what I'm thinking.
I can't walk behind a woman that has, you know, I don't know, what are you thinking? Why are you dousing yourself? And this is the same with men. Why are you dousing yourself with so much cologne and so much perfume?
They think
that makes me gag.
They think it's cool, but it's not. It does make you
totally
gag, you know?
It's not cool.
It's like, I think cologne and perfume are like for intimate contact. You know, if you're close with someone... you know, if you hug, if you this, but not with, like, strangers, you know? I mean, give me a break, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to smell you from 10 feet away, you know?
Oh, no.
Especially if you have a fucking offensive cologne, you know?
I've walked behind a couple of ladies walking up here, and I have to get past them because they leave a rift.
Yeah, they do. They do. You know, it's just like in the cartoons when you see the character and there's like waves coming from him. All the stench comes out of there. But I mean, some people, they just don't get it, you know.
I think their farts would smell better than their perfume.
Yeah. And on that note, Manu.
I was at the end of the day again.
We're gonna conclude the show.
Oh.
And but I think everybody was happy, obviously.
Yay!
Right? Okay, and some people were not happy.
More happy than unhappy.
If you're not listening to California Dreaming, you're missing out on all the important stuff.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. So we're going to say goodbye, and we will see you on Monday.
Monday, 9 a.m.
I think it's a holiday, right? It's some kind of President's Day or something.
Oh,
But hey, we're going to be on. If you're off work, then you can just get up at 9 o'clock. Come on, don't be lazy. And listen to the show.
In.
You like to sleep in.
Oh,
okay, so go sleep in.
All right.
We'll find someone else.
Well, goodbye, everyone. And goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye, and have a nice weekend.
Bye.
If you're not listening to California Dreaming, you're missing out on all the important stuff.
Masturbation is costing society a lot of water. Okay.
What?
Okay.
Where did you get this
okay,
from?
Okay, you take your shower, you shampoo, you soap yourself, blah, blah, blah. And then you start going at it, right? So what is it, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes? That's a lot of water. I mean, can you imagine how much water is wasted on that? Just imagine how many gallons you think probably go through the shower heads in a minute. So I think we're going to have a drought, regardless of whether it rains here or not, because people are wasting water masturbating, you know? Do it elsewhere. Don't do it in the shower, okay?
Sam says vote no masturbate in 08. It's California Dreaming. California Dreaming. With your host, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.